Hello and welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Hey, Chapter 5. In yesterday's Perek, we reached one of the lowest moments in Sefer Shmuel. Bnei Israel went to war against the Plishtim and were unfortunately defeated. In an attempt to turn the tide, they brought the Aron of Hashem from Shiloh into the battlefield. But instead of bringing victory, the war ended in catastrophe. 4,000 and then another 30,000 Jewish soldiers were killed. Hophni and Pinchas died together on that very same day, just as the prophecy had foretold. And the Aron itself was captured. When Eli heard the terrible news that the Aron had been taken, he fell from his chair and died. And Pinchas' wife, in her last dying breaths, named her newborn son Ikavod, for the glory has departed from Israel. Yesterday's parak ended off with the tremendous, colossal Chilul Hashem of Hashem's Aron being captured and taken by the Plishtim. But today, in Perek Hey, Chapter 5, we will see that Hashem himself will protect his honor and will smite down the Plishtim from this audacious sin with plagues on the level of those last seen in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Perek Hey opens up by telling the story of what happens after the Aron arrives in Plishti territory. The Plishtim controlled 5 major cities along the southwestern coastal plain of Israel, cities that had not been fully conquered during the time of Yehoshua and remained a constant thorn in the side of Bnei Israel. These cities were Aza, Gaza, which unfortunately we are too familiar with nowadays, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Gat, and Ekron. The Plishtim, or the Philistines, as they were known, were a seafaring people. They were not indigenous to the lands of Israel, the lands of Canaan. Rather, they came from the isles of the Mediterranean, conquering coastal areas, including coastal plains of Israel. And their god was a seafaring god, as we will see in a moment. The Aron will travel through several of these cities, and everywhere it goes, disaster will follow. This parak is short, only 12 psukim, but it carries a powerful message. Psukim Aleph through Bet. The Plishtim take the Aron from the battlefield, and they bring it to the city of Ashdod, which today actually stands as the 5th largest city in Israel. There, they place it inside the temple of their god Dagon, setting it beside the idol. Dagon was one of the main Plishti gods. According to the description brought in the Mefarshim, Dagon had the upper body of a man, but the lower half of a fish. As we said, the Plishtim were coastal people, fishermen, who came from the islands in the Mediterranean and settled along the shore of Canaan. Naturally, they worshipped a sea-related god. Their thinking in placing the Aron specifically there next to their god Dagon may have been one of two possibilities. The Yakut Shimoni records a dispute between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. According to Rav Yochanan, he says that they were actually showing honor to the Aron by placing it before their god. Rish Lakish, though, says the opposite. He says that they were actually demonstrating that their god Dagon had defeated the god of Israel, so the Aron now stood in submission before Dagon. Psukim Gimel and Dalet continue the story. When the people of Ashdod wake up in the next morning, they discover something shocking. Their idol Dagon has fallen flat on its face before the Aron of Hashem. The way the idol falls, it looks exactly as if Dagon is bowing down to the Aron. Vayashkimu Ashdodim imacharat, and the Ashdodim, they wake up the next morning. Vihine Dagon nofel lefanav arza, and Dagon had fallen before the Aron of Hashem on the ground. Here we see this expression of Dagon fallen upon his face to the ground. Rav Amnon Bazak actually points out in a beautiful article that this is an expression of submission, similar to the manner in which the brothers fell before Yosef in the days back in the story of the brothers facing their brother Yosef, not knowing it was him, following the whole incident with the goblet that was taken. The psukim there tell us, and Yehuda and his brethren came to Yosef's house, for he was still there, and they fell before him to the ground. And Yehuda said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves?" And the pasuk goes on. That's the pasuk in Bereishis, Mem Dalet, Yudalet, and Tetvav, Bereishis 44, 14 to 15, that the wording of Nofel Lefanav Arza is submission, that here Dagon was as if he was submitting before the Aron of Hashem. Embarrassed, the people of the Plishtim lifted up their idol, and they put it back in its place. But the next morning, something even more dramatic happens. Once again, Dagon has fallen before the Aron the next morning, but this time, the idol is shattered. His head and both hands are severed, lying on the threshold, while only the fish-like body, the Dagon part of him, remains intact. It was as if Hashem was telling to the Plishtim, your quote-unquote God, he has no head, he cannot think, and he also has no hands, he has no power to do anything at all. It reminds me of the imagery of the Perek of Tehillim, which we say as part of Hallel, Tehillim 115, in the Perek, what we say, Lo Lanu, we say, Pelahem velo yidabiru, Einayim lahem velo yiru, describing their powerless gods. We say, a mouth they have, but they cannot speak. Eyes they have, but they cannot see. These descriptions illustrate the total impotence of man-made idols like Dagon, who we're speaking of here, which lack even senses, which ordinary man himself is able to do. The Midrash explains that before Hashem punishes people, Hashem first punishes their God, giving them a chance to recognize the truth and to repent, to do teshuva, similar to how the Nile River was struck first in Mitzrayim. But instead of learning the message, the Plishtim responded with stubbornness. In Pasuk Hey, they even declared the very threshold where the idol's head and hands had fallen to now forevermore be a sacred and holy spot. They said that from that day on, no one was ever allowed to step on that place. Again, instead of acknowledging this obvious miracle that happened in front of their eyes, they reinterpreted the events to preserve their own beliefs. So now in Pasuk Vav, Hashem is going to begin to strike the people themselves. Pasuk Vav reads, "Vatichbad Yad Hashem el ha'ashdodim, vayesimim vayachotam ba'ifolim," which is read as "Vatichorim et Ashdod ve'et gvuleha." The hand of Hashem then became heavy upon the Ashdodim, and he devastated them, and he struck them with a painful disease, which was similar to that of hemorrhoids, Ashdod and its surrounding areas. Rashi tells us that in addition to this extremely painful and uncomfortable intestinal disease that they experienced, they were also stricken by an additional plague, that of mice, that mice would enter their bodies, disembowel them, and then they would crawl out. There are other versions of Midrashim that elaborate what else happened with mice, that in addition to causing them tremendous discomfort, the plague of mice also destroyed all of their crops, similar to that of Makat Arba, the Makah of locusts, back in the days of the Makot in Mitzrayim. The Medrash describes that the mice spread throughout the entire land, running and ruining their fields and everything in sight. In Pasuk Zayin, the people of Ashdod acknowledge that the Ark has been harsh against them, and they become desperate to send the Aron away from their city as soon as possible. So in Pasuk Chet, they call together all five of the Plishti rulers to decide what to do with the Aron, and they decide to send it to Gat, another major Plishti city. Moving the Aron to a different place stems from their misconceived notion that gods have particular places in which their power is the greatest. We actually see this with Bilam in Parshat Balak. When Bilam doesn't succeed at cursing the Jews, what does he do? He moves from place to place. He constantly moves his altar, thinking perhaps it's the place that's wrong, not realizing that perhaps his actions are the ones that are wrong. We actually see a complete contrast to this with the actions of our forefather Abraham. When Abraham goes to see what came of his tefillah to Hashem to save the people of Sodom, the pasuk in Bereishis tells us, "Vayashkim Avram baboker el hamakom asher amad sham." And Abraham arose early in the morning to the place where he had stood before Hashem. In Parshat Vayira, our rabbis teach us that from here we actually learn that when we daven, we are supposed to do so in a makom kavua, in a set place, just like Abraham goes back to the same place where he davened. Even though his tefillah wasn't answered, he goes back to the same place. For we acknowledge and we know that Hashem is the one who answers tefillot. It's not superstition based on where we are, where the location is. It's based on our actions, and it's based on the actions and the responses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send our way. But here, the Plishtim are too entrenched to see the truth, and they send the Aron to Gat. But alas, Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Their plan doesn't work. As soon as the Aron arrives in Gath, the same plague breaks out there as well. This time, even worse. The entire city is struck with the same painful disease, and the suffering spreads throughout the entire population. Some Midrashim say that the plague intensified there, and many people began to even die from it. Meanwhile, the people in Ashdod remain sick, even after the Aron left them, showing that the punishment has already begun. So the residents of Gath panic, and they quickly send the Aron away again. Pasuk Yud, this time they send it to the city of Ekron. But when the Aron arrives in Ekron, the people are struck instantly. And also, they react immediately, and they cry out in fear. They have brought the Aron of the God of Israel to us, to kill us and our people. What are we going to do? The reputation of the Aron has already begun to spread. Continues Pasuk Yud Aleph. So they summon and gather together all of the Plishti leaders, and they beg them to send away the Aron of Hashem. Let it return to its place and not kill us or our people. For there was a panic of death in the city. The hand of Hashem was very heavy there. And our final pasuk for today, Pasuk Yud Bet, the people who did not die were stricken with these terrible hemorrhoids, and their cry ascended to heaven. One interesting parallel from our parak to the times we're living through today. The Malbim points out that even as these people in these Plishti cities begged their leaders to remove the Aron, as their suffering was too great to bear, their leaders were less willing to capitulate and acknowledge the God of Israel. We unfortunately see a similar dynamic today, when leaders of terrorist regimes make decisions based on their own power and their own interests without truly taking into account the suffering their own people endure. In today's parak, we saw how the Plishtim thought that they had captured the Aron and defeated the God of Israel. But instead, they discovered just how powerful the Aron and the God of the Jewish people truly is. In tomorrow's parak, we will Bezrat Hashem watch as the Plishtim finally realize that the only solution is to send the Aron back home. Thank you so much for learning this parak together. Wishing everyone a beautiful day. Today's parak is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.